Spark your creativity with The Sims. Sometimes you might feel like you're not creative and you have to go in search of your creative spark again. Maybe this is catching up with creative friends, experimenting with a new look, or trying out a new recipe. And thanks to The Sims, inspiration is just one game and one spark away. Ready to spark something? Download The Sims 4 and play for free.
Yo, what up, everybody? What up, what up? Day two of football. I got this piece of lint here on here, whatever. But anyway, man, I can't wait for Tuesday. I cannot wait for Tuesday. It's going to be crazy. This shit bothered me, bro. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot to talk about Tuesday. And I cannot wait. What up, Shelton?
What's happening?
If you guys are not following us on social, I suggest you do so. I wish B just sent a hilarious video. I'm going to post it on our Instagram feed and maybe everywhere. And make shit probably on the YouTube channel, too. You guys are watching now, so definitely tune into the YouTube channel. And CB's response is hilarious. And he'll be there Tuesday. He'll definitely be there Tuesday. Data Gamer is recorded. Make sure you check them out before us. What a game. I'm happy for B, first and foremost. You know, that's his squad first win since 1991. You know, the Lions proved that, you know, they won a very, very close game. This was a playoff atmosphere. Any mistake you make can be very, very costly. But I think Dan Campbell won it in the way that he's coached all year and probably since he got to Detroit, being aggressive.
Yes.
And he went for it on second down, I was in the chat. I was like, they better pull out their best plays. I thought they were going to do it on third, but I think he caught them off guard, went for it, hit that guy and got first down, and that was the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was saying because – well, first of all, the refs missed a couple of penalties. So that was P.I. on Nuka.
Man, he grabbed it. Yeah, he grabbed
it. Sure did. And but it was key. And I didn't think I wouldn't have taken the penalty, but it worked out for Dan Campbell. He believed in his defense. They got it done, and that was that. But you know, Kyle, shout out to 12 Kyle, put in the chat. He was like, Goff gotta go win it. And Goff made the play, and they did it. But, Shelton, I don't know if you got this feeling, but I felt like the Lions' butts got a little tight in the second half.
They did, man. They only scored 3 points in the second half. The defense stepped up big, and they made plays down the stretch. Kept the Rams. Rams had several chances to get in the end zone and just couldn't get it done. It seemed like they were trying to force it to Cooper Kupp. I don't know why, but – yeah, they tightened up that second half for sure, but they were fortunate to pull that out. That pass interference miss was huge, and he definitely grabbed it.
Yeah, Ghost of Nicholas Duce, it seemed like, and I think it was to a certain degree smart, but they were running the ball, and they weren't running the ball effectively. So, you know, I it felt like they were being a little bit more conservative, and, you know, the Rams brought a lot of pressure. So they didn't get a chance to really get into their set. Goff is like a freaking statue.
Yeah.
So, but it felt like they were like trying to eat out the clock. But they got it done. But that first half was a shootout.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. And I was texting B. I was like, man, the Lions defense just getting cooked.
They were. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, too, on that part, Ken, I don't know if it felt like it to you, but it felt like to me like the Lions should have been up more. It just felt like they dominated for a second in the first half. And it was surprising to me that the Rams even had a chance to take the lead at the end of the first half, the beginning of the second, because it just felt like they had been outplayed. But it was a really, really close game throughout. It's best game of the playoffs so far. By the way, and it was really good to see those two battling out with their former teams, and it seemed like they both had something to prove. I know this meant a lot to Jared Goff going forward, that whole Lions organization. So shout out to them for getting this win.
Yeah, and good thing that Sam LaPorta was able to play after he almost got put out the game. But, yeah, it definitely meant a lot to Goff and to do that against his former team. I mean, everything you said, so I'm in agreement. And, you know, it was definitely big. Hold on. Shout out to – we got the homie to our Kyle here. Yo, what
– Yo.
What up, fellas?
What up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, man, I just came in, man. I seen the link in the chat. I was like, man, let me go in here and come in here and say what's up on such a joyous occasion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, we were just talking about the game, man. Just your thoughts overall on the Lions Rams game.
Man, it was a good game. I was surprised because I thought I don't know, man. I mean, you know, you seen the Lions for so long. It's such a good story. You thinking, okay, can they pull it off? And you know, you got to give credit to Stafford and even to, you know, their whole team, man, because the Rams, I think at one point this time this year, the Rams were really struggling, and nobody would have expected them to make it to the playoffs. So for them to make it to the playoffs and even get knocked out in the first round says a lot about what Sean McVay did. You know, a lot of people counted them out, especially in that division. So, you know, it's not a loss for them. It's still a feel-good story. And, I mean, bro, they got a stud receiver, that Puka Nacua kid. So, I mean, like, they got a lot of stuff to look forward to. It's not a loss, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but definitely happy for Detroit, because Detroit's been bad for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, we've had some – it's been crazy, these rookie receivers stepping up the way they have during this playoff time. These rookies, period, have playoff ball. There's no first-year jitters, they've never been here before type stuff. You saw Rashee Rice do it. What, he had like 180 yards. Puka played well. Just these guys just are stepping up. These young guys are coming out there and playing some ball, man. And it's looking really good early for everybody. All the guys for the Rams, for the Packers, you could talk about. But that's just been crazy to me to see these receivers make a name for themselves the way they have.
Well, you know what's interesting, man? I heard a little bit about it on the radio when I was driving from this restaurant. But they said Puka Nacua, they said, like, the only reason why he went as late as he did is because he had a really bad combine. He had, like, a really slow 40. But, I mean, like, for him to have – because that's why he got taken in the fifth round. But really to bounce back from that and be the kind of rookie that he was this year is incredible. And it says a lot, you know, particularly in that offense, man. So it's – and you mentioned the guys from Green Bay. Man, other than Watson, I don't know none of them dudes that play receiver for the Green Bay.
Right.
But, you know, the point that I made on Twitter earlier was, like, this is the same team, the exact same team, the same receiver core that Aaron Rodgers said he couldn't win with last year. And so the only thing to change was you take Rodgers out of the picture and you put in Love. And Love, you know, looked better than Rodgers did last year. So
yes,
that says a lot. Says a lot. Nobody's going to talk about that, but that says a lot.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, we there. You know, I saw you post that on Twitter. I was thinking about that, and that's an interesting point. But the damn Cowboys, bro, they got the worst possible matchup in the playoffs with how great Green Bay was playing down the stretch, how confident they were. LaFleur figured out Love's strengths and weaknesses, and he just did everything he did, and Dak threw two picks, bro, like costly picks, and that was his, he went Flacco. It was Dak Flacco. That slant. Now that was a hell of a pick by Jair Alexander.
Alexander, yeah.
But that pick six, bro, that was awful. He had no business on
that ball. But you know what? That's what Dak is. He's done. And, you know, even really later on in the game, he was throwing some, he was throwing up some, a couple down the middle that looked like that could have easily been picked off. But I mean, he's done that all year. It's just they got him today, man. And they had his number. And I think part of the problem is, too, man, Dallas never really, you don't know what they're going to do. Like, some days they come out and they run the ball. And I thought it would have been more beneficial to them for them to run the ball as opposed to having Dak throw the ball all the time. Because, like, you know, with Dak, man, if he's all, if you get to him early, oh, he's going to be shaky. And they got to him early, man. And they, and like, I think one of the biggest plays I think that they didn't even talk about was it was a third and like five. And Dak got in between that little area where he could run or maybe he could throw, and he took a sack. And that told me right there, like, he ain't ready. And Green Bay, you got to give Green Bay their props, man. But Dallas, you're right, it was a bad matchup, man. But really, just to get kicked and thrown down a down a flight of stairs like they did, I love it, man. There's no bigger hater than me as far as the Cowboys are concerned. I've been hating Dallas all my life, so I love it. I love it. All the memes, I got all the memes. I got all the tweets off that I needed. I still got more for all the haters tomorrow. All my friends, because I'm friends with a lot of Cowboys. So I'm married to a Cowboys fan, God, for God's sake. And man, bro, she ain't said nothing. She ain't said, hey, man, it's so bad. With me being a Giants fan, when the Giants play the Cowboys, we don't even watch the game in the same, we don't even watch the game in the same room. I go upstairs, she go downstairs. But it couldn't happen to a better team, man. It couldn't happen to a better team. And I think even, okay, so all hate aside, let me just say this, and I'm going to say this for Spike, because I know Spike probably ain't coming on here tonight.
No.
I'll say this. Dallas is a good team, but a lot of their wins and their stats got compiled when they were playing bad teams, when they were beating the Giants, when they were beating the Redskins, when they were beating, you know, these terrible teams. But when they had to play against teams that were relatively good, Dak looked average, and they looked bad, and they didn't win. It is what it is.
Yeah, they definitely had a favorable schedule this year, and they handled business at home. They handled business when they needed to at home. But like you said, when pressure comes, any type of pressure, and it was brilliant. Another thing people ain't talking about is how Green Bay took the ball. Most teams play defense first.
Yeah,
LaFleur understood we need to get on top of these guys because when they play downhill, it's hard to stop them.
Thanks.
So what they did was they took the ball. He put the ball in his quarterback's hands first, which most people want their quarterback to sit and look a little bit. Mm-hmm. No. He said, we want the ball. They took the ball, and they drove the ball right down the field. And it's crazy to me, man. The craziest thing is how Jordan Love continues to throw off his back foot and is deadly accurate doing that. It looks so wild to me. I'm like, man, it looked like he's just throwing it up. He's deadly accurate, man. He was just on point. He looked like what Dak should have looked like tonight.
Hey, B, you missed Lions talk, bro. You late.
Where he at?
He in the chat.
Okay. Yeah, you're right, Sheldon. He looked good, man. And I think he schemed up. And another thing that I saw too, that Green Bay literally was holding the ball till it got to like 1-2 seconds left on the play clock. They milked the clock all game long until they got a very comfortable lead because they wanted to keep Dak and those guys on the sidelines, and they did a great job of that. Time of possession, they killed Dallas.
Yep, they did. They did. That was just a brilliant game plan. They went in there and they executed. Everybody did their job. Romeo Doubs stepped up huge in this game, and it was crazy to me how some of those receivers was running so wide open. That one pass to that tight end for that score, I mean, that was like he was catching a punt.
He had to wait on the ball.
He did. He just stood there like, okay. I was like, man, I could have caught that.
Hey, Shelton, I got to call you out. Your homeboy looked bad.
Oh, he did, man.
He looked bad, boy. Stephon Gilmore looked like he's about 37 out there today.
I hated it. I felt so bad for him because he got cooked, man. That was one of the worst games I've seen him play. I think it may be the worst game I've seen him play. And he was getting toasted all night long.
Even on that touchdown pass where they went up three scores, he was just out of position. And the only thing he could do was swing at the ball at the end. And the kid Bland, he was a non-factor too. I mean, not having Diggs obviously hurts them, but they've been playing without Diggs all year. So, I mean, that's not an excuse.
And the biggest thing the Packers did was they eliminated Michael Parsons from this game. Anytime you neutralize him and his name is not being called, you got a great chance of winning the game. And they did that early. You know, the first couple plays, you know, you got the offensive holding call on him a couple times. I mean, a couple times he got holding calls. Other than that, you heard nothing from Michael Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true.
You know, I had a feeling because we were just wrapping up recording, so I was trying to get Spike out of there so we can watch it. Preferred to stay where he was. And, you know, I saw a text said, "Go Packers, go," or whatever. And one of Spike's boys is a Packers fan, so they were sitting there.
Wow. Yeah.
So they were both in there recording with us. He had his Packer gear on and stuff like that. So they were taking jabs at each other. But when I saw Dak and Lamb having exchanges, I'm like, oh, y'all ain't on one page early. Yeah. You know, and the game just started, and Lamb is sitting here bitching and whining and stuff like that. So, yeah. Hey, B, hop on the chat, bro.
Yeah,
hop
B,
on, bro. Yeah. Put your mask on or something.
B got warrants or something?
Yeah, the link in the chat, bro. Hop on, bro. You think your Lions won, bro, since 1991.
Yeah, celebrate this.
But, yeah, so I was like, that's not good. And that's what led to one of the pick six. Dak just dropped back and threw the damn ball, bro. Like, you saw the safety came down in almost like this robber position. So he was playing it, and he just picked it off. He just ran off. So I was, and that was pretty much the game, because one of the things that Shelton, you guys have been talking about all season is that these guys are front runners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And once they got behind, like, you know, 14-0, it was a little rough, but when it was 20-0, I was like, this might be it. So well, it was it. That was. So yeah, and it was just downhill from there. And they just kept pouring it on, bro.
You made it.
So yeah, so no, nah, that was the worst thing that could have happened for a Cowboy fans. Yeah, I think he might hop on here. He said, "Give him a minute."
And the thing about it was they scored at the end of the first half. They got they got a break because that was a false start on that offensive guard. I thought they were going to call that, but they didn't call it. Mm-hmm. So they did score that touchdown, and they got the ball to begin the second half. So they had an opportunity to get back in that game early. But Green Bay came right back down the field and just marched right back down on their first possession and scored. So anytime Dallas put points up, it was too late, man. It was too late. And
did Green Bay even punt the ball? I don't even remember them punting the ball.
They did punt a couple times. Okay. They punted because they
look
at the end of the game, that when Dallas was down by two scores, they punted and put Dallas inside the 10-yard line. Then they punted a couple, like one or two other times. They punted maybe three times total. But
I got a question for y'all before B hop on here. Still in this area because Jerry Jones was pissed.
He was living.
Yeah, no, he was hot. Do you think that that Bill Belichick is on the table for them?
He has to be. He has to be at this point because, you know, this is a proud franchise, and Jerry Jones is not like losing as we know. And I feel like he'd go after the best. I think that he's going to, you know, it's an attractive job. It has to be, because the talent is there. They got talent, and there's no way you can't look at one of the greatest coaches of all time and think about bringing him in and maybe unlocking that success that needs to be there. So he has to be on the table if you're smart.
I don't know. It looks good and it sounds good, but I think part of the issue is like, Jerry Jones has his hand in too much as far as operations. Now, we just saw Belichick be the coach / GM. I'm sure he would want to do the same in Dallas. I don't know that Jerry can be that hands off for Bill to be that and be successful. But you can make a case that Bill really wasn't that successful doing it because of, you know, the roster that New England had over these last few years. I mean, like, you know, when we talked about it ad nauseum, you know, whether or not it was Brady or it was, you know, Belichick. And I mean, I think it's pretty clear. Now, don't get me wrong. Belichick is arguably the greatest head coach of all time in the NFL. But it's clear if you don't have a Brady, you don't get to those six Super Bowls, seven, how many other Super Bowls they won. So I don't know. I mean, like, it would take a lot. Could it happen? Yeah, it could happen. I think at this point, you got to at least pick up the phone and call Bill Belichick and say, hey, what's up? What can we do? Because Mike McCarthy may or may not be – Mike McCarthy may or may not survive the next 48 hours.
No, he won't. He's done, Kyle. He's done.
So, you know, I saw Jason Garrett say something on TV to the effect of, you know, publicly Jerry will support the team and support the coaches for the next 24 to 48 hours because the news cycle is hot. But, I mean, that's like coach speak to me. And so I think Jerry probably will do that. But, you know, it's going to be a decision-making – process that has to happen. So yeah, can you get rid of McCarthy? Hell yeah, you can get rid of him. Can you bring in Belichick? Yeah, you can. But I just don't know the dynamics of it. Now, if you put Bill Belichick on that sideline with that team, they're going to be better. I mean, let's keep it real. But can they win? I don't know, because like this team is still you got ski mask on. This team is still flowing. What up, B? What up, though?
What's happening?
What's up? What's up? What's going on? The fuck is going on up in here? I try to tell y'all.
What you trying to tell us, B?
Y'all been doubting my Lions all year, talking all that stuff. Where is Spike at? And the Lions will be one and done this season. The Lions will be one and done. I promise you that. And look at his squad. His squad is one and done. Karma. That's a karma for cheating. That's the karma for that cheating game that they cheated us out of the number one seed. And yeah, that's why. And now look at the Lions. We are here. We're going to have another home game at the crib for the playoffs because we're playing the winner of the Tampa or the Philadelphia. And we are higher seed than those two teams. So that means we got another game at the crib. You know what I'm saying? Look, Dan Campbell has been gutsy all season. I will give it to Dan Campbell. Because I remember when he first became the head coach, I was like, I don't know about that hire. He had that first press conference talking about biting knees and all that stuff. I was like, man, I don't know. I was like, man, I don't know about this dude, man. I don't know. I'm not sure. But third year, he's turned it around. I mean, hell, the way he finished last year was remarkable. I think they won like seven, eight last eight games or something like that last year.
Yeah, like that.
Crazy. And then he just sprung right on to this season, beating the Super Bowl champs to start off the season. Bam, got that out the way. Our only like really ass kicking that we really took this year was against the Baltimore Ravens at the Ravens crib. I can accept that. The Ravens are the number one seed. They got the best record in the NFL. Not even just the AFC, but just the NFL. So I can take that ass whooping. I can take that. Some of the other losses we had, divisional games, you got to take that the way it is. Divisional games are always tough no matter what the record is. But we still dug down deep like the Warriors we are, like the gritting Lions that we are, and we pulled this out. And we got the dub. Now we at the crib again this week. We had too many legends in the building. We could not have lose that game. We had Barry there. Megatron was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had legends there. We could not have take that L with those legends there. First playoff game win since I was in middle school. I am loving it. This is great. It's great. You can't ask
for nothing. Have you heard from anybody? What's the move from your peeps? Have you heard from your pops or anybody?
Oh, yeah. Oh, phone's been hot. The phone has been hot, okay? The phone has been on fire. So, yeah, man, I've been getting text messages. I talked to my dad for a second. He was at his sister's bar, loud and stuff over there. So, you know, I couldn't talk to him that long. It was just loud. But we was happy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's what's up. It's Detroit. Look, people who's been following me, following Detroit, following Dead End Sports, they know it ain't no bandwagon shit with me. I ride and die for all my squads, all my Detroit squads. It ain't no bandwagon. It's still Detroit basketball. I still say it in the chat. It's still Detroit basketball, even though we're going to probably pull off the worst record in NBA history probably this season. But you know what? It's still Detroit basketball. I still got my Detroit jerseys and all that stuff. It's still Detroit squads. Shout out to Michigan Wolverines for winning a national championship as well. Hopefully my Michigan State Spartans win the NCAA, but we'll see. But yeah, I rep all my Detroit squads. So people who see this, they know I don't bandwagon shit, okay? I'm gangster about my shit. That's why I got the ski mask on. That's exactly why I got the ski mask on, man, because I'm gangster about my shit.
Gangster wild with it.
I don't care what y'all think. Y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, but y'all will not say. Y'all can't deny that I rep my teams rather win or losses. Doesn't even matter. I still rep them. Ain't no bandwagon here. I don't go for players. Nothing. It's all about the Detroit squads. All right? Mm. And we got the dub. We just got it.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm in here. Let me see what this chat's saying. What the chat's saying?
Yeah, I got a question for you. How far you think you can go in these playoffs?
Hey, look, Sheldon, I'm just taking any given Sunday. Any given Sunday.
One game at a time.
Any given Sunday, man. You just gotta, you know, just roll with the punches. We got through this. We have to focus now. So we got through this. We go celebrate tonight. And then the next, we just gotta, you know, we're gonna watch this, check out, see who we gonna play between Tampa and Philly, and then we gotta focus on Tampa and Philly. It's going to focus. Tampa. You know what I'm saying? Tampa. You say you think it's going to be Tampa?
Yeah, man. Philly look bad, man. Philly, not only does Philly look bad, but they sound defeated, man. Like, and it's like, Shelton, you know, it don't look good, man. It don't look good. You got to be nervous right now, Shelton.
Very much so, because a lot of, you know, as a former athlete yourself, you understand that most games are won and lost before the game even is played. Then this mentality is everything. When Kim pointed out when CD was going crazy, you know, when they was getting into a little bit on the sidelines, they pretty much had lost that game at that point. And it's been going on all year. Mm-hmm. It's been a circus. It's been a shit show. And it's hard to turn it on now. You know what I'm saying? I kept saying, and I was saying, like, okay, eventually this thing gonna click, because I thought it would. I really thought it would, but it never did all season. No matter what, you know, and it's still remarkable to me to have a record like that. You know, 11-6, which is crazy that they finished 11-6 with the way they looked and performed was ridiculous. And I laughed.
Well, you know what? What makes it tougher is that they were the Super Bowl loser. Now, traditionally, Super Bowl loser doesn't even make the playoffs. So, you know, I was pushing back on some fans that said, oh man, if they lose this, Sirianni gonna get fired. That's just crazy to me. I mean, like, I'm not a fan, so I don't have a dog in the fight. But to say that a guy can lead a team to a Super Bowl one year and be fired the next, that's crazy to me. But I mean, like, I think it's a number of things. I think what you said is true. Philly's kind of played on that edge where, like, oh yeah, we'll turn it on. And they've really gotten to the point where they can't turn it on anymore. And, right. You know, Brown being hurt, you know, Jalen's clearly been hurt and been playing through injuries all, which that's what you expect a $100 million quarterback to do, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's like when I watched them, when they played against the Giants before the Giants kind of blew them out, what I see is a team, everybody's looking at the next guy to make a play.
Yeah.
That's what I see. Everybody's looking at the next guy to make a play. And then they're walking back to the huddle, like, well, why you ain't make that play? Well, why you ain't make that play? And then they get on the sideline. Why you didn't make that play? And it's like, you don't expect that from a veteran team. Like, and this is, and keep in mind, Philly had, they pushed all the chips in. Like, this team as constructed won't be the same next year. So this might have been their best run at the ring. And for them to come up, I mean, like, you can't lose to Tampa. But I mean, because Tampa sucks, but they look that bad.
They have. It's Baker
Mayfield. The fact that y'all think Baker Mayfield is about to go out here and do something, I'm shocked.
On a bum ankle.
Ken, I'm with you, Ken, and I would think that. But like Kyle said, it's just tough to, because I wouldn't imagine the Giants would have done them like that. It's hard to imagine that. But at the same time, you got to go on the road. You're gonna have to stick together, and you're gonna have to figure out how to get past AJ Brown's injury. That's your bet. That's your bread and butter right there. So they got to figure that part out, because those other wide receivers, after you get past AJ Brown and Smith, there's nothing. The cupboard is bare. Julio Jones is shelled himself. So if that's
Julio out there for cardio, man, he ain't doing nothing.
It ain't, you know. Yeah. There's nothing left. And you know, we've seen them ignore the running game. Another thing about Sirianni I was thinking about, too, because that is true that they're talking about. I've been seeing a lot of reports that they're looking at firing him. This leads me to believe that there's something deeper going on that we don't see on the surface. We can't see. We're not in that locker room. But he evidently has lost that complete team locker room to the point where ownership is paying attention. Yes, they made it to the Super Bowl last year, but once again, even the looks on their faces looks different this year. You know, I'm looking for some type of something, and I don't see it. And I watch every game, every second, and I'm still not seeing that team that looks like they're, you know, fired up, confident, ready to go. I don't see it on either side of the ball. And it's just crazy. The leaders on that team, you got leadership. You got one of the oldest veteran squads in the league. The leadership is there. And they're not able to pull it out. So something else is going on that we don't see, and it's brewing, and I don't know what it could be. I don't know if it's the coordinators. I don't know what it is. But hopefully we can pull this out.
Well, what I do know is we'll be back on. I'll be back tomorrow to of course recap, we got two games tomorrow. So we got that one and Bills and Pittsburgh, and the governor said they're not pushing the game back anymore. So they're gonna play regardless of what happens.
And you know what? Adam Silver mad as hell right now, too. Cutting in his ring.
I know he-
cutting in his ring.
Yeah, he's hot. Yep. Well, Kyle and B, man, I appreciate you guys jumping on, man. It was unexpected, but I'm glad you jumped on.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try to jump on more, man. I was just about to get in bed. When I saw it pop up, I was like, oh shit. Let me go ahead and talk to the Cowboy Nation because they needed to hear from me. So I got one question to all the Cowboys fans out there that I ask on social media. To quote the great singer D'Angelo, how does it feel? And I'm gonna drop the mic on that.
Kyle, it feels the same.
And I'm gonna drop the mic on that.
It feels the same.
And on that note, we out, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. All right,
peace out. 5 G's.
Later.
Peace.